back to episode 71 of the Dive Bomb Squadcast. I'm your host, Matt Judy, and today we got Big Boss Man Cody Stokes on here to talk about new things with the new headquarters, new products coming, the future of Dive Bomb, maybe a little bit of the 203 in King's Bend. So what's up, Cody? How you doing?
I'm doing great, great. Glad to be here. Episode 71. I'm like, 71? Wow. But this thing dates back. Goes back quite a ways, but no, glad to be on this. I love the new studio, the new look. You as a host, I'm pumped for it, man. I listened to your podcast kind of in the interim the other day with Nathan, and I was smiling the whole way I was driving listening to it because your vibe, so.
I love it, dude. I appreciate it. Yeah, well, we got right out the gate, we got some big news for you. You're a dad now.
I'm a dad as of Sunday night, March 16th at 12:13 in the morning. I had a little girl.
Jeez.
So. We got Stella Stokes.
Heck yeah.
Her middle name is Evelyn after my grandma. But yeah, you were asking me what it's like and, you know, the delivery process, I have nothing to do with really, just kind of stayed out of the way. But
yeah,
holding the baby thing and seeing the baby come out is totally surreal, you know. And then I was driving back to the hospital. I went home and showered and came back driving back. And I'm on the highway. I'm thinking to myself, like, I would die for this girl.
Yeah,
like I'd take a bullet right now if I had to in this big primal thing. So I need to work.
Kind of just like a core energy, and I'll be experiencing that come May when my little baby girl comes. So shoot, we'll have little babies almost at the same time going through fatherhood together. But I like Stella Stokes. That's a great name. I like those double. You got double S. I'm naming my girl Jolie Judy. So I got the double J's going.
Nice.
But man, that'll be awesome. Congrats to you on the baby. Great, man.
Yeah, and thanks a lot.
So right out the gate, sitting in the brand new headquarters. That just seems like an absolutely monster move. And I love every second of it.
It was so overdue and so warranted. And I can't believe we dealt with what we had for so long back at Northline. Yeah. I mean, we were coming out of everything was exploding. You could barely move. But this is a welcome change. We've got, big showroom coming. It's the contractor was here this morning. You know, we're going to have just out of the gate, 50 some odd mounts that are going to go in. We've got big racks, displays. I mean, it's going to be true pinnacle Dive Bomb headquarters, you know, clothing and decoys and everything we offer is going to be on full display, big graphics, lights. And, we're going to host Squad Fest here.
We've
got a huge parking lot. We're going to have everything out in front, and we've got some changes to that. You can find that on the web, but the warehouse is big, everything under one roof. We got new WMS and ERP warehouse management system, enterprise resource planning.
Yeah.
Everything is overhauled, and it's basically crazy. Like we've cleared the runway. So we're hiring, we are expanding in more than one way, we're expanding personnel, we're expanding product lines, we're expanding customer service, everything. I mean, a marketing team just hired. So we're headed in the right direction. If I were to say it, you know, if I were to give like a wellness exam on this company today as compared to the past, I'd say we're in better shape than we've ever been, and we're ready for more.
An absolutely phenomenal place to be. Yeah, and Dive Bomb, and dating back, I talked about it last time with Asher, but being around since like 2017 for me, now it's 2025, and seeing what this company has grown into, it's just mind blowing, man. And I want to get to see the new headquarters even before Squad Fest, but it might be Squad Fest time by the time I see it. But when Jake sent me a Snapchat the other day of just riding scooters around with Bowie, just mobbing around because it's so big, I was like, holy shit, dude, I need to see that in person. That looks freaking amazing.
Beyond the Blind, their new YouTube videos is cool, but it shows some of the behind the scenes here, which is really what we've been lacking. If you ask me, there's so much that goes on here that's fun and I don't say inspiring, but it is. It's a cool place to work, and we want to showcase it. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I've always thought too. I was like, man, we're doing all these, like, even outside of the hunting world and, you know, marketing decoys and everything Dive Bomb, we do some like fun shit just besides that. And like, Jake was telling me about this idea that him and Bowie had for this behind the scenes stuff. And I'm like, dude, I am so jealous. He's like, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this, like, whatever, just stupid ideas. I'm like, I I'm going to be sitting at home extremely jealous while you guys are out filming these Beyond the Blind videos. So I think I'm gonna try to get Jake to come up this summer, you know, when it's fun around here again. The springtime sucks here, but we're going to try to film one of those coming this summer. So I think that'd be pretty fun. Just kind of
awesome.
Random summer PNW shit. But yeah, and even Asher, he went to the headquarters before they went and hunted with Tony, and he just said it's phenomenal, man. So I can't wait to see what comes of that. And so the grand opening is going to be Squad Fest, right? Is that
grand opening is going to be Squad Fest? So literally, the only piece that's left is the showroom. So we've got a design team that's done all the racking and the layout, and then we've got an architect that had to do all of the permitting and actually like down to the nuts and bolts and dimensions and stuff that has to be submitted for approval by the city. And then the general contractor is the one that puts all those pieces together and actually builds it out and makes it come to life. And luckily for me, one of my good friends is our GC. We have a good working relationship, and he's a big hunter and an excellent shot. So yeah, it all seems to be coming together.
That's good, man. And how big is that showroom? I heard like 8,000 square feet or something like that. Is that true?
So it's 8,000 square feet with 20-foot clear. So it's got exposed ceilings and vents and stuff. So it's really, it'll be an experience. You know, it's expansive, especially when you compare it to our previous showroom, which was kind of, boy, we grew out of that thing so fast. It was really wasn't the best representation of the brand. But we grinned and bared that place to save, effectively, is what we did. We had a lease we had to run through. But this showroom should be awesome. You know, changing dressing rooms. We've got a lounge area. All the blinds will be out, everything. So bring your dog, stop by on your road trip, get a picture. We got a huge sign out front, you know.
Exactly. Stop by if you're going anywhere around the area and just kind of just come hang out, see everybody, not just shop, but just like meet everybody and kind of chill, which I think that's what a lot of people did even at the last place, but you're set up even better for that kind of vibe now at the new place. So I love seeing that. That's freaking awesome. And just looking forward to that. One thing I want to know is how your properties did this year. It looked absolutely lights out amazing. I got to go there for the first time and hunt for the opener, and that was fun. But it looked like after that it just got crazy.
It got crazy. Opener wasn't all that. I mean, honestly.
No.
Opener's more of like it's like a torch, lighting the torch ceremony more than
exactly.
Anything. It's really cool when the mallards start to show up, and we had the mallards come in really early this year. I think it was the coldest, earliest season. It got cold earlier in the season than I can ever imagine, and we were just loaded. 203 specifically was just loaded with ducks.
Yeah.
Our numbers were great. Our hunter success rate was just phenomenal. And comparatively speaking, we left the same amount of corn in that field last year as we did this year. And when we combined last year, we had about half of the yield remaining from the ducks. So basically we left 180 bushel an acre, just say that we combined roughly 90 out of it. Yep. This year, when we combined the same amount of corn, guess what our bushel per acre was?
What was zero?
Zero. They ate everything.
Holy cow.
They destroyed everything. Farmer,
it's insane.
A guy that went in and combined it for me. He goes, I'm just gonna stop. I'm just
gonna like, there's no point if there's nothing left.
There's nothing left. So the house is effectively the same way. So we've got kind of two property pieces going. We call one the farm's King's Bend.
Yeah.
We call the main or original location the house because it has the house, and then the 203. And the house is the same way. We're gonna go in and bush hog all that corn down. Man, I may go to it tomorrow if I can get out and it's not wet. But we got projects going on at the 203 now. We bought another piece of property that's adjacent to it, which is great. It really cuts down on the potential for neighbors hunting next to us, which is great.
And then we're gonna
develop it. And then we're going to run with that big cold onset we had. We were running generators and ice eaters or rippers. And it was a lot of work going back and fueling those. So we are running 2,800 feet of pipe from our well. We're going to have an output in two locations. One is the east pit, which you see us hunt out of a lot. And we're going to drop a new pit in the levee this year. And we're going to have two outputs. So they'll be shooting water out, warm water, 50-some degree water in below freezing temps. And those wells, spigots, outlets. They keep a huge area open. So we're going to put them northwest of where the pits are. The northwest wind is ideally going to push that warm water, and we'll have big open spots. We won't have to run generators or mess with it. It's just an evolution, but it's getting better and better.
Yeah, just, I mean, each year I feel like you just add on to learn what you would like for the next year and just build on to that. So was this year the second year of the 203?
Second year. So bought the 203 before last season, like 3 months before, and rushed the dirt work in. We did everything right. I wouldn't change hardly anything. But it was just a flat field. I mean, it was owned for over 100 years by one set of brothers, and they got up in age and decided to sell it. So we took it from a flat ag field that it's been the last 100 years and turned it into a duck lake, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah, that's freaking insane to think about that, all the work that goes into it. So year one to year two, what would you think your biggest success factors were? Because it seems like this second year was just like monumentally,
I think the weather had a lot to do with it, but I think they're learning it. I think that they know what it is now, and I think that the birds of a feather flock together. So, you know, One bird comes, he brings back 10 friends, and then those 10 birds bring back 10, and it's like an exponential deal.
Yeah.
That, and, you know, we used A-frames and a trailer behind the track Ranger or Can-Am, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. And we kind of explored the first year and where do the birds want to be? Where are they most comfortable, you know, most frequently? And we found some good spots, but we kept going back to this one specific spot or two, really. And we ended up hunting those spots, and they proved themselves out like the second month of our initial year. And we went back in and we put permanent pits there. And our pits are different. Typically, you see a big slant top, you know, with a east facing pit or whatever it might be for, you know, a sunset or whatever. We dug a square pit with a flat top, and we built out a hybrid. It's kind of the backside of the blind, it's got enough space to get underneath it, but then it ramps up and then it comes out. So it's basically, we tried to emulate the A-frame profile as best as we could. And we can hunt as easily out of the back as we can the front. And with that gap, we just literally brush it like an A-frame with grass, you know, hanging over itself. Uh-huh. And if people are there, you know, you make a little hole not too big. And if they're not there, then you plug it up completely and it hides well. It's just, it worked great. So we're sticking with that style. And I've never, around here, you see a lot of traditional style blinds, and I think maybe they got them figured out. A lot of guys don't brush. Well, we're brushing constantly. Every time we go out, we bring a couple bundles of rip gut, and we're touching up, you
know,
pulling stuff up that sags, and it's important.
And I feel like when you stay on top of that stuff too, like you said, that's important, because a lot of people, I feel, would just put it there and it gets raggedy by like 3/4 through the season. They're like, well, screw it. I don't care if we can still scratch out whatever. But if you're brushing that thing, I just feel like it helps your case a lot, because they just don't get used to just exposing yourself, I would say. And then, that goes with anything in hunting.
Yeah.
Except for me, I get a little lazy towards the end of the season. My layouts are bare as hell and I get flared on, but it's all good. But no, when my experience going there, like for my first time ever, it was cool to see the opener in a different, because I've only been to the opener in Washington, you know, where I'm at only. That's it. I've never been to an opening day anywhere else. And just to see like everyone come together, everyone's hype, standing on the porch, smoking cigars, drinking a couple beers, looking at all the ducks coming in, you shrimp boil. That was just freaking, that was an awesome experience for me, because I'd never been to that place in my life, and it was cool. And then me and Jake and Bowie and Nate went out and filmed one and got to hunt with all the guys from the headquarters, which I don't get to experience too often. It's usually just like me or Asher or me or Jake and Jordan or something like that. But it was fun, man.
We hosted a lot. That was fun. Opening weekend, we hosted a lot of guys this year. We had DU and Reaper and all that stuff, and had great dinners. And then the guys came out and filmed. They stayed for 3 days, and every day was like, these guys were, it's snowing, you know, Arkansas and whomever else. They loved it. You know, it was like Asher was in like Disneyland pretty much. So,
oh yeah, it seemed like it. He was flexing on me the whole time that I wasn't there, because that that was kind of like a last minute deal. I think it was scheduled for a different date and they saw snow coming. They're like, all right, it's, you know, it's time to go. And you just filmed back to back to back to just bangers out there. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude.
We had Barstool come out of Sydney Wells and we did an Out of Office. So the night before the Out of Office, Nathan, Sydney, Jack, and I went out and we brought bows with the, what are the Osprey or Oneida bows and Flu arrows. So these are, they're carbon arrows with big fletching on it, like, you know, probably two, three inch tall fletching and big crossed, you know, looks like the old gobbler guillotine. And we shot, we probably shot at 60, 70 ducks. And man, I clipped one in the chest and I took a tuft of feathers that fell off in a clump. And I'm like, just go down, bird, go down. And it didn't go down.
And was Sydney, was that the closest you got?
That was the closest I get. I only connected with one, and I was hoping it would have been such a viral badass video. One, it would have been great, you know, for content and promotion. But personally, that I mean, we're talking out of the air. We're talking birds coming down and setting up, you know, and shooting them out of
insane.
The air.
That's insane.
But man, I just hope we get an opportunity to do it again this year, and I'm sure we will, and we get it on film because it is cool.
Yeah, really no, that cool. that definitely needs something to. Was Sydney just like badass at it?
Badass. She's a badass. She's fun to hunt with. She's cool. She's legit too.
Yeah, I mean,
and her dad too. So she brings these bows, and she's like, "Here, here's my. I got mine, and here you can use my dad, Tim Wells's bow, the Slockmaster." And I'm like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah.
And so she's like, "Draw. See if you can draw it back." And I literally couldn't even pull that string, pull the bow like 4 inches back, and I'm like, loosen her up for me. I mean, that
you're
guy's
like, geez, I can't handle that. That dude's got some draw on him, I guess. No dang, joke. Dude. That's insane. Yeah, I met Sydney at NWTF for the first time, and she's real deal, man. After meeting her, I was like, yeah, you're about it, 100%. You know, so these properties, so you talked about the water situation, keeping water open. You got any other plans besides that, or are you just going to kind of go step by step.
I'm planting a bunch of trees, continually planting trees at the house specifically. So I think I put in 400 oaks already this year. And I think I have plans to put in about 400 more. And then we're going to put some willow screens. So you can take willows. So you can propagate a willow, which means, and there's other plants. I think you can do with roses. I think you can do with a lot of other plants, but willows specifically.
Yeah.
And the trees, you can go right now in the spring is right before things are greening up or as they're greening up. And you can take a willow that's come out of the ground and you cut it off and you cut it in, you know, foot long segments. And you can effectively take these foot long segments and stick them into the moist ground or soft ground as it's wet. And they will effectively root and grow. So you can transplant or grow.
Jeez.
As many willows as you want, and it costs you nothing, and they grow fast, and
they're
great
nothing.
Screens. So we're going to have a propagation party here coming up where everyone goes down and cuts down a bunch of willows and walks in a line and sticks them in the ground.
Cheap cover right there. I didn't know that, actually.
Cheap cover, and they grow fast.
Yeah, that's what you want, too. Cheap and grows fast. That's exactly what you want right there.
That's right. And then what else? We're doing boat lanes. We're going to ditch at the 203, which we traverse by boats. We're going to do a boat ditch, red right return. You know, we're going to have indicators like reflectors, you know, so guys don't, you know, beach themselves effectively because it's shallow. I mean, it's half pool till, you know, early December, late November. So we need to be able to run the boat because it's just that water and stuff's just hell on the tracks and rangers.
I could see those things just getting absolutely beat. Because when I was there, we were doing the Rangers with the tracks on them with the trailer pulling out. That was sick. I'd never done that in my life. That was freaking. I remember just taking a video sitting on the trailer, dude. I was like, this is freaking badass, dude. We never get to do this.
A lot nicer than dragging your layout in P and dub mud.
Oh my gosh, it's terrible, dude. It's miserable. So when I get to hop on a rig and actually like drive to where we're hunting, which is almost everywhere else besides here, it's just like a treat to me, dude. Like, it's like you have no idea what that means to me because usually I'm shin deep mud with a layout over my back and two bags of decoys just like in a 300-yard pack out. Oh, it's miserable, man. So that was enjoyable there. But when did you switch to the Reaper boats after that? Did you just go full Reaper or full boat?
We got connected with Zach, and they came down and hunted. But we got some timber boats. I think they're Mod Vs. I don't know. We might try some sort of hybrid flat bottom, maybe give it some more flotation and plane early. But we don't need to go 100 miles an hour. Those things go fast, and they handle like Formula One cars. Like,
yeah.
I was down in Arkansas with Nathan, and he had his boat. God. I mean, we were flying.
Was that crazy. His one with his nice outboard on it? That wasn't the one with the gator tail, right?
No, it was his two stroke. He's real into that. He's like,
oh yeah, he loves that thing.
He can't get enough of that Arkansas stuff. Arkansas.
So you were flying around in Arkansas with Nate, just mobbing around.
We didn't do well, but we had a hell of a boat ride.
Seems like it.
I guess they had a tough year. Asher had a lease down there. Mm-hmm. He said it was tough. Nathan and them really didn't start shooting them till like towards the end of the year, which is I thought surprising. I thought they'd have a heck of a year given how cold it was here.
Yeah, I heard the same thing from Asher. He said it was just not as good.
The one thing I noticed,
same thing with me.
You can look at snow maps, like snow cover maps,
Yeah.
And there was this big blank spot from Minnesota into Iowa, and maybe that may be somewhat of the reason. Maybe they didn't show up.
Could be. Could be. I know for us, we had like the mildest winter we've ever had, and it was still in northern BC and southeast Alaska in like December. It was like 47 degrees still,
that's crazy.
They just never came down till later in the season. I've never experienced it, and it was crazy frustrating for me. Like, we always get our ducks. Like, we, no matter what, we always get them. So, and I was like looking at the map, like, oh, man, it's 47 degrees in Anchorage in southeast Alaska. They don't need to leave yet. And then we got one cold snap in January, and then boom, they all showed up like all at once. And I was like, well, I guess that's how my season played out.
You never got to shoot a goose out of the creek or what?
No, I didn't. And right now, right next to my creek, there's like 500 mallards sitting right next to it right now. Crazy. And it's so frustrating. So yeah, for the listeners, on my property that I have this creek that like border, it runs on the north side of my property. There's only a very small sliver that I can like hunt on it, but I know it's like my life goal now to shoot a limit of ducks right outside. It's like 30 yards right outside my back door. So I'm planning on building, just like there's this tree that I'm going to build a blind in that faces directly down the creek, and I could mow down one of the sides and just throw a big old migrator spread in there, permanent spread. And all I need is just like a couple ducks to be around, because I know I could do it. And this is my second season now, and I haven't been able to do it. And now it's mid-March, and there's 500 ducks sitting right next to it. It'll take the like perfect trifecta of weather to get my dream hunt done. And when I do, I'm going to film it and probably post it, because it's going to be freaking badass. And in the same creek, I'd be floating it like the lazy river in the summer. So I got my own personal lazy river. And then in the winter, I could be shooting ducks off of it.
Hell yeah. That's badass. So talk about you for a second. So you got dive bomb. That's one mode of employment, right? And then you've got a bunch of other things going. You've got a dog kennel on the property.
Yep.
And I heard that's doing well. So that's great. Congrats. But you also do something very interesting. You do goat reselling, goat trading. Is that right?
Yep. I did over the summer. I got rid of them for the winter because I didn't want to feed them all winter. Yeah, I do have a kennel. So I started a dog boarding kennel. It's been 1 year today, actually, that I opened it.
Congrats.
And that has been very successful. It came with the property that I bought on the house. It was kind of a turnkey business that the lady before me ran for 20 years, and Candace went in there. She painted the walls, kind of mixed up the office a little bit, and then we just opened it up, and it has been busy since like the day we opened, which is just, you can't beat that, which has been awesome. It's been a big change to me, because I didn't like dogs at all, even like 2 years ago, pretty much. And now I have my own hunting dog now. For the first time, and now I own a dog kennel. So now they just became like a part of my life, basically, which I can't complain. It's all turned out good. It was one of those things where like I didn't want to open the kennel. Candace really did. We argued about it for so long, and then I started crunching numbers, and I just couldn't deny it. So I was like, all right. But this goat thing, so yeah. There we have a local auction barn here, and I know you know, all the people that work at it. It's a small town, it's local. But one day I was in there and I saw a goat sell for like $200. And I was like, holy, these things are worth that much? What the heck? And I have 5 acres at my house. So I have 4 separate pastures and they were getting a little long. I have 2 horses. They can only keep up for so much. So I started, you know, I'd see a good deal come up on a goat at the auction barn. I'd buy it, hold it for a month, and then sell it and just make a little bit of money on it. But at the same time, they would keep my pasture short, but then it turned into pretty much an addiction. All I was doing was buying and selling goats. And at the height, I had 33 of them in my pasture over the summer.
That's crazy.
Straight up 33 of them. And then I would look forward to Monday or auctions or every Monday at 11:30 in the morning. And that's the only thing I would look forward to all summer so I could strike a good deal on a goat. Because it gets kind of addicting. When you're in an auction ring and you see something and that you want, dude, it's super addicting. Get your bid going. Oh, dude, it gets me fired up.
So you're buying the goat, you're letting it mow your lawn, and then you're selling it. What is the end consumer doing with the goat?
It kind of depends. A lot of them will just go to meat if they're the right size. If it's like a 50 to 70 pound goat, that's probably going just getting meated out and sold. I don't know what that market is, but there is one there because there's 3 buyers in there that are buying them consistently and they all go to meat.
Have you formed any bonds with any of these goats? I mean, I don't mean that like in a weird, inappropriate way.
No, there was like,
have you made any friends with these goats? Have you met a goat friend that you could not let go to meet?
Yeah, there's been multiple of them that me and Candace, there was one named Georgia and one named Wally. And then there was a third one that like Candace like would not, that was a no sale. Like those are staying like,
nope, not for sale.
Yeah, not going to meet at all. But it was just kind of a really entertaining thing to do over the summer. I might do it again come this spring. My pastures are getting a little long now too, so I might have to dabble back into that. But I made a couple TikTok videos just documenting the whole thing. They got like 100,000 views on TikTok. Yeah. People were liking it, I guess.
You know, Tommy, product development manager Tommy, he has goats. You ought to come check him out.
Yeah, he's always sending me pictures of him, and he had like pheasants. He had like pheasants or something too, or something like that.
He did the.
I love Tommy. He's always doing redneck shit, just like I'm doing. So me and him are always chatting on whatever he's got going on. Yeah, he's sending me all the stuff like that. But yeah, it's crazy. Now I got a couple. I bought a couple bottle calves from the auction barn. I'm gonna raise those, put them on my pasture, and just, you know, kind of see where it goes. Cause I'm like, man, I'm going to use my property. I'm going to throw animals on here regardless. But I do get carried away at the auction barn sometimes and buy some stuff that I don't need. But that's cause I like bidding on things. So it's addicting.
Hear that.
So I look forward to those every Monday. You always see it on my stories. Every Monday, I'll just be sitting in the ring and buying something stupid. Like last week, I bought a gas pressure washer and a 20 gallon spray tank because they just got like miscellaneous stuff that comes in too.
Hell yeah. What's the truck you've got now?
My little S10. Yeah. I bought that at an equipment auction. I actually, going back to that opening day in Missouri, I had a couple too many beers in the shop that night, and I put a higher bid than I wanted to on this truck that same night at Kingsman.
Hell yeah.
So then
you were inspired.
I was inspired. So it was just a little 92 S10 and I put in a $750 bid on it. It could have had a hole in the block for all I knew. There was no information on this truck. I just wanted it really bad. And then I think it was like early December when the auction was ending. I'm sitting there for the last 10 minutes and I'm like, please, somebody please outbid me. Come on, somebody please come get this thing so I don't have to go deal with it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I won the bid, and it turned out to be a badass little truck. I've been building that. All I had to do is a brake line, new brakes, head gasket may or may not be going out, but it's a beater anyway, so I don't care.
Auctions do funny things to people. I've watched labs go for 10 grand. I watched my friend's wife buy one for almost $5,000 the other day, and they don't even have room for another lab.
Gosh,
her husband's
dude.
Like trying to hold her paddle down, and it's for good cause, So they've got Molly now, the new lab edition.
But
so we had a DU auction at the warehouse, and one of our old customer service guys was there. And he was making okay money, but I think he was trying to buy an engagement ring and was trying to put a down payment on the house. And he and his fiance were working on finances, and they got a ice fishing trip for auction. And the guy just kept bidding. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? And all of a sudden the competitor stopped bidding, and they're like, going once. He goes, Cody, bid. I'm like, you're on your own, man. Sam got an ice fishing trip.
Came out with an ice fishing trip out of that. Yeah, auctions get people in a different mind space, and I firsthand experience it all the time. You just get locked in. One of my buddies just spent a little more than he should have on a couple beef cows the other day, but he wanted them bad, and he wanted to beat the other guy who was bidding on him.
I've got a Guyette and Dieter. This is like a pitch for them, but man, they've got online weekly auction of antique decoys. And I've got the app on my phone, and I've been like kind of lost control. Some of this stuff is awesome. You can find good deals, but every once in a while, I've been buying, lots of puddle ducks, trying to get like almost every species for a room at home. But Cody Orr here has been buying coots.
His coot collection. He's got a big picture of that.
As Larson calls it, his dirty coot collection. Look at all these dirty coots. So he's got a pile of coots now, and he's been losing his mind. I watched him spend $850 the other day on a coot carving. And in my opinion, in the world of carvings, like, coot's the least cool one there is. I mean, they're black and gray, and they look like a chicken, and this guy's losing his mind over coots. Whatever floats your boat. I think there's something sentimental there or something, but
there's gotta be. I mean, because he sent me a couple pictures of his, like, it's like in the corner of his office, just like a rack full of coot stuff, and I'm like, man, you're crazy for that.
Someone saw it. One of our vendors came in and saw it, and I think they sent him that mojo coot with the top hat thing.
So now he's
got the mojo coot with the zip tie pole to his rack. And I think he's even got it hardwired, so when he turns on his light, the spinner comes on.
My goodness, dude. That's just ridiculous. Hey, whatever floats your boat, or if you like coots, I ain't going to judge you for it. Mm-hmm. So with the expansion of the headquarters and the property doing good, next thing I kind of want to talk about is new products coming down the line from Dive Bomb, because there is a lot coming, a lot to be hyped about. Everyone's gonna love it, and I'm hyped for everybody to see for the new stuff that's coming.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, when people catch me off guard, they ask me, what are you working on? And I start thinking, and I'm like, I don't know. But I'm like, well, there's so much I can't even put my finger on it. You know, late last year we had a couple cool products that came out with the Low Pro layout blind that you actually field tested for us.
I did.
Proving ground than where you're located. That is a new one that's been out for several months, but we kind of missed the seasons. If you're looking for a new layout line, that is a bad dude.
Phenomenal. I remember I was working with Tommy on that. He sent me, I think, like the first prototype ever made, and I had like 3D printed parts and everything. He's like, hey, go a little easy on it, but we need some testing. I'm like, dude, I destroy layouts up here, and I'm a layout hunter. I don't hunt A-frames too often, and put that thing through the ringer, and then to see the final product come out and be running those ones this year, phenomenal product, man. They're just top tier. They're top tier. So if you're looking for a new layout, definitely that one.
And then a couple big ones, product like groupings, would be our roll top dry line stuff has been really successful. It's great. Some of the great engineering as a whole, I'm not an engineer, but I've been involved with it for pretty much all of my career. They're so simple but effective that they're hard to beat, the roll tops. But the convenience now of the zipper advancements and waterproofness and, you know, affordability and all that stuff, we introduced a zippered backpack, and it did extremely, extremely well. So we've built out a whole zippered lineup. So you're going to start seeing zippered everything come down the line for us in three solids. And then we've been working on two camouflage patterns. So we've got two new patterns that you may have seen teased in some of our zippered stuff lately, but camouflage patterns will go on everything. We've got one designed for, a moist soil, flooded corn, that kind of environment. And then we've got our darker timber style, flooded woods pattern. Yeah. And that's going to be on a lot of stuff. And then you know, soft goods side has been great. We've got new shoes coming out. We've got variations of the Trudge. We've got Sludge, which is a, you know, a more beefy, insulated version of a knee boot. And then, you know, soft goods clothing, additional stuff on the tech gear side. So bibs came out this year. They're great. We're going to offer those in more colorways. Waders, you know, improvements come every year to almost every product we offer, really. So soft goods side's really growing. And then we are going to reintroduce our initial product. Well, our initial product was the original Canada Goose silhouette. Dive Bomb Canada Goose silhouette was what it was. That was what we were founded off of. So that's what I sold on Craigslist before we even had Dive Bomb and a website and all that stuff. And we evolved that, you know, expanded that line, socks, full bodies, soft goods stuff. And we are where we are today. We are going to go back and make, we are making a 10 or 12 year overhaul on our V2s. So we will have V3 Canada Goose silhouettes coming out, and they are very, very badass. They're large in size, their paint scheme, their texture, their everything, their postures are phenomenal. And the really cool thing that I'm most excited about is, you know, you see a full body goose, which we have now, we have full body honkers and shells. Mm-hmm. They're phenomenal. These will blend seamlessly, you know, so it's basically like a decoy unification process. So, you know, when you have your full body out and the guy brings a bag of silhouettes out, they don't look different. Like they look like they're meant to be, you know, the coloring and the size and all that stuff, you know, for yourself, for the birds, for photos, for video, they look cool and they look cohesive, and it's just more of a system, more like, what do they call that? An ecosystem, you know, you have something that all fits together. You can piece out an AR-15 with everything, and it's all made by the same brand. That's effectively what we're trying to do with our decoy arsenal.
That is freaking awesome. And I don't think that info has ever been spilled out yet.
I don't know if I was even supposed to say it, to be honest with you. Maybe I jumped the gun.
Good. No, that's good though. I love the fact that it's like one of those situations where all your buddies pool together, you know, decoys, and you throw out in a spread, and they look just completely different wherever you put them out. So to have a silhouette to match with our own full body honker coming will be freaking badass. I can't wait. It's just going to look awesome. And
that works.
Yeah, you know, you throw out a full body honker and you throw a silhouette, they just look, you know, different.
Yeah.
So to have matching is awesome.
We've got, we're working on our snow stuff too. So we've got some stuff in development for snow goose, a very portable snow goose decoy, and then electronic stuff, which we haven't offered an electronic decoy, but we've got a bunch in the pipe for that. And it kind of shares that same, you know, crossover piece. And some dove stuff's coming, you know, accessories and decoys. And, you know, we've done really well listening to our listeners, our customers. So yeah, if you think we should be adding something to our product line we don't currently have, just drop a line, make a comment. You know, we see all of this stuff. We're very active on all of our socials. So, you know, let us
know. Yeah. That's what I would say about Dive Bomb too. You know, I'm part of it. I see all the messages that come in and comments, and even our marketing, we're like, man, and everyone at the headquarters, like, people want this, you know, let's maybe consider changing it. Like, we listen to our customers so well and so in tune with our customers that it's something that a lot of other companies feel like they're lacking on. And we're just like dialed into that pipeline of, if we see a suggestion come in, like, it actually means something, you know what I mean? And even product development or product improvements year to year, like the same product we have is going to get improved every year after what we hear on customer feedback, which is just phenomenal. And I think my favorite products this last season were the bibs and the layout. I loved wearing the bibs this year because I'm a field hunter, so I don't get to wear waders too much. But I just wear bibs all the time, and I hunt in the nastiest conditions at like anywhere in the country. It's just gross and wet and raining all the time. So to pair the bruiser bibs with that bruiser jacket, like that thing went through some downpours. That combo right there went through some absolute muddy, wet downpours, and I'd take them off at the end of the hunt and I'd be perfectly dry.
You would be shocked if you knew how many hours we had into that bib. I mean, Asher has been asking for a bib for years and years. When's the bib coming? And every year he's let down. And, you know, he's a tough critic. And to his credit, it's a good thing. You know, you don't want someone you don't want someone that just goes along and agrees with everything you say. You don't want him to be devil's advocate, but you you want him to make critiques or criticisms that improve things. And that's the way I am too. We share that commonplace. But when he got the bibs, and he's really slow to acknowledge something that's great, he immediately turned around and was like, these were worth the wait. And I'm like, that's what I wanted to hear. So when I don't, well, the problem with that is when I don't get that on other products, I'm like,
you're like, man, what's he about to say about this one? Whatever.
Right.
I remember seeing a bib prototype like two years ago, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago somewhere. While we were on a dive bomb trip, and then, you know, a couple years later, here they are. Phenomenal. The fit on them is just, I can't rave about those bibs enough. They're like my favorite thing to wear 24/7, and they're super waterproof. And they look good. They feel good. They're just like,
I was in Colorado skiing, and a guy sold me a jacket, I think, or rented me some skis. I'm like, these are sick. These look sick. He goes, look good, feel good, bro. That's something to say about it.
There is, like, I used to say that back playing high school football, you know, like even back then, look good, feel good, play good is how it was. And that, you know, that carries pretty much into everything. But when I throw those bibs on, like, I know they look sweet, and I'm just, you know, you get a little bit of swagger to you on those, and they just perform extremely well, like just phenomenally well. Like even the waders too. The waders have just been freaking amazing.
I agree.
I hunt, lots of people probably wouldn't, but I hunt my wade, like if we're hunting sheet water, I'm laying in my waders inside a layout, like just putting them through an absolute beating, getting in and out of a layout, in and out of a layout with waders on, and they've held up for so long, and they're so lightweight, they just feel like you're almost wearing bibs. It's amazing.
At the 203, we got a lot of guests, so we basically have the walls are just filled with waders. So if you don't have what you need, you basically take what you want off the shelf. And if my waders are checked out or I'm just in a rush, and I'll look through, find a size, I'll pull it off the shelf, and there's still prototype waders hanging in there. I mean, they're still in use. And the general rule of thumb is, like, honestly, I know every single wader, no matter how good they're constructed, you know, they will effectively, they're not bulletproof. Let's just put it that way. If you hit your shin on a trailer hitch, if you hang it on barbed wire, if you have certain wear points, they will effectively wear out. Any brand, any manufacturer. But it's crazy that we have these waders that have been worn effectively for, I don't know, what, 6 months, almost every day of wear, and and they're just a prototype pieces, and they're still functioning perfectly. It's awesome.
That's insane. And,
so it's cool.
That reminds me, I still have my prototype waders that I have from way back when, and those are my waders that I give to my buddies who like need some waders last second, and there's not a single problem with them. That's still the prototype. That's crazy.
Doherty's day-to-day go-to waiter has got black accessory points on them before they were dyed in color, and like they're cool.
I mean, he's basically like
one of you know. So
I was like, damn, you have the OGs, dude. You're flexing on everybody now. Mm-hmm. So tons of new products coming. Is there a specific one that you're hyped for, or is it just all of it?
I'm hyped for a lot of the soft goods stuff personally. I want to wear dive bomb pants, like daily pants, work pants, you know, tech pants in the field. We have airweight pants, and we've got a whole bunch of pants coming. Yeah. Man, they did really, really well. I think that we overlooked pants in some regards. So oddly enough, I'm really excited for some pants.
Well, that's good. I just had a guy in the dive bomb message the other day ask if we were going to make them.
A lot of pants.
There's your answer if you're listening.
We've got some underwaiter, under like mid layer type stuff. We're calling them boilers. They're really cool. The cut's cool. The lines are cool. The material, the colors, they're sweet, man. Underwaiter
just stuff. Good looking.
But good looking stuff. And then back in the decoy world, we've got full body mallards that are in process right now. And that's really exciting.
Heck yeah.
I love the process. I love the carving sculpture process for creating the originals. Like working with someone that's will use their hands to create these for decades. They send you a sketch and it took them all of 10 minutes and it's got their signature at the bottom. And you're like, damn, like this is cool in itself. Will you send me the original? And they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, I want the sketch that created this carving that's going to create the thousands of decoys that people use in the field.
Hard product.
So in my office now, I've got, once we're through the molding process, like they take impressions and copy the paint schemes off of the originals. Once they're through that, I get the originals back and I've got a big display now cooking in my office of original sketches and original carvings that tie into all of the full bodies that are basically in use.
That would be
a cool collection. You know, I'm hoping, you know, later on down the road, I'm an old man and I can look back at, you know, my accomplishments through carvings.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
have a carving room.
Your success sitting on something to look at like that, you know, after that, that's pretty sweet. So we can pretty much expect full bodies coming for everything basically, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't have a carver create every species, you know, like overnight. So it's kind of they're either want to compete, they're either making money and they've got commissions. So you've got to kind of weave into their schedule. And to some point you're kind of at their mercy, you know?
Yeah.
They're a tough breed to make them do something they don't want to do.
I could see that.
They march to a beat of their own drum. You know, typically they sit in a room by themselves for hours and hours on days and months, weeks on end. And they don't listen to anyone's direction really other than their own and probably what a couple judges and maybe their wife says a year. So they're great guys, but they do what they want to do. And I respect that. So it's tough kind of working in their schedule, but when you find the right ones and you form a long relationship and you don't balk at, you know, fast payment makes fast friends. You know, when I first started this, I would found a carver and I was younger and didn't have any full bodies. And first guy that was standing next to him, I told me what a decoy cost. And he said, son, I don't think you know what it's going to cost outside of this carving, you know, with the tooling and production and all that stuff. I said, maybe this isn't my guy. So I turned to the guy next to him, John Jones was his name.
Yeah.
And he said, well, they started this much money. And I said, well, I'll take two. And he said, are you serious, son? And I said, yep. I was like, I got the money. And he's like, pay me cash. And I'm like, sure. I sold my first truck, my OG truck, first truck I ever had.
Dang.
And I flew to Michigan to pick up these decoys and to spend the night with him and his wife. And we had walleye and handed over my cash and flew home with my two decoys. And then I headed off with those two decoys back in the day to find a manufacturer. But
damn. So you sold a truck for two decoys.
I sold a truck to a kid named Clayton Gregory in Sumner, which is where my original duck place was. He's a cool kid.
Yeah.
But sadly enough, that truck got T-boned on the highway and it's gone, but Clayton is fine. So that's all that matters.
That's good.
Yep.
But yeah, tons of new products coming, man. Those V3s are something to be really hyped about. I think that's cool as an ode to the original of what started this entire brand. I think that's freaking badass coming down. And those camo patterns, man, those are going to be... people are going to like them. The little bit that us on the marketing team has teased them a little bit, it's just a phenomenal reaction coming out of those. Dude, I can't wait for, you know, those to drop because they're going to be a hit for sure.
And back on that Asher's Critical stuff, man, he saw them in pictures. I don't know. And I'm like, just hang on, man. I'm going to send you some swatches. And when you're in the woods, I want you to take a staple gun and I want you to staple them to the trees and back up, take some pictures and see what you think. And so we gave him some options and we found one that was just phenomenal. So
that'll be good. I remember he sent me that picture, that thing. He's like, check this out. And I was like, yep, that's freaking that's sick. I like that.
effective and they look cool. And the same goes for the marsh pattern too. I mean, I had, I don't know how many different samples that I turned into face masks / little bean caps I was wearing outside that blind, asking everyone what their thoughts were. So they're cool. I hope they're like, you know, staples of this company moving forward, you know, like maybe a tweak, but I hope, you know, like they're, you know, lifetime style pattern
becomes part of the brand. Like that, that's our camo patterns, and that's Dive Bomb right there. I'm hyped for it.
Me too.
I think I'm tailored more towards the marshy one because I'm not from the South. That old timber patterns and stuff just kind of doesn't fly up here where I'm at, but still it looks badass, and I can't wait to see it on, you know, all kinds of different products or the waders or whatever. Man, that'll be sweet. Somebody, you know, post it up in the timber pattern, in the timber in the woods. It'll just be awesome to see it all just come together, dude. I'm hyped about those. Those will be, there's been a massive reaction on them. It'll be sweet.
I agree. For any lady listeners, we're going to start pushing out more woman stuff. So we pushed out a woman's sweat/loungewear, several items, and then probably going to do some woman's cuts. So we have a lady being onboarded now into apparel soft goods. So she's going to be working on that among other things. So that's pretty cool.
That'll be good. We've had a lot of requests for that too, to dabble into, you know, the woman's lines. And I think a lot of them will appreciate it.
I get mobbed by women at shows, and that DU that we went and did a DU deal, the third term for all their collegiate chapters. Yeah. The girls, they were almost like pissed off at me. They're like, when are you making a woman's cut?
And I'm getting like, all angry at you.
And I didn't have it. I don't want to say that live, but I'm working on it. And now we're accelerating. We've always been working on it, but now we're accelerating. Yeah.
But now it's actually just getting pushed up in there, and it's going down and it's happening. Oh yeah. We're creeping up on an hour, man. It's been good seeing where the company's going. The future of Dive Bomb looks absolutely huge. Never slowing down. That's one thing that I've always noticed. It just never slows down at all. There's always something new, something improved coming on. And on top of that, seeing your properties be successful and being able to hunt those and just see the good times to come out of those properties. This whole thing has just been amazing to see, man. So I'm glad you could come on here and give the listeners a little bit of inside intel, maybe some new stuff coming, and to be hyped for that, man. It's good.
I am blessed, lucky, and thankful, to say the least. So couldn't have done it without all of our customers, all the support here, everything like that. And we're not done. You're growing or you're dying. So we're growing.
Yep. Always growing. You know, I've always appreciated the opportunity from you to allow us, you know, what we do and marketing and everything and having fun. It's just been a big staple in my life being a part of this brand. And it's been a
staple of the brand. You're an OG, Judy.
Dude, I've been around for way too long. I can call myself an OG now, coming out of like 2017, still That's around, awesome. Dude. It's crazy, the longevity of it.
That's awesome.
But thanks for coming on, Cody. And big things coming out of Dive Bomb that you can expect. And yeah, man, thanks. We'll catch everybody on the next one.